Scripture reading for the day is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. We're going to read the sixth chapter, verses 30 and through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place." I believe the New King James Version says, "Come aside with me to a quiet place. Get some rest," so that they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So far in this series of sermons, I've talked about Jesus' invitations to come and rest, come and drink, and come and see. In today's scripture, we are invited, along with Jesus' apostles, to come aside, to come apart. You've heard the old saying, we need to come apart before we fall apart. So Jesus said, come aside for a specific purpose. As our scripture tells us, Jesus, along with the disciples, had been very, very busy. In Luke's gospel, we are told that Jesus called those disciples together, and he gave them power, and he gave them authority in order to use that power. And we are told that those disciples then went out, and they began to preach the gospel, and they began to heal and to deliver people. And you can imagine their excitement and their enthusiasm when they saw these things happening. When they saw people healed and delivered and responding to their preaching. You know, and I'm sure you've seen this too, it's so possible for us to get so involved, to get so caught up in something that we just forget about everything else. Sometimes we even forget about eating. Sometimes we even forget about resting or sleeping because we're so into it. We're so excited about it. Well, that's the way they were. They were preaching and teaching what is called the gospel. Now, we don't know what that gospel entailed because this was prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But they were teaching and preaching the gospel, and they were seeing amazing things happen. And they came back to Jesus all excited because of what was happening and because what they had been able to see through their efforts accomplished. They came back and Jesus said, "You've been working hard. You've been doing a lot of things. You've been teaching and preaching and healing people and so forth. Now you need to take a little rest." So he said, "Take some time off and get some much needed rest." We see in the Gospels that Jesus himself felt the need to come aside at times, to go apart and rest and pray. From time to time, he felt like that was necessary. Once he started his ministry, there was just so much pressure on him all the time. We can't even imagine. People were hungry. People were thirsty. People were so needy. Whenever Jesus showed up, people flocked there to hear him. They wanted to hear him preach. They wanted to hear him teach. They brought their sick people. They came themselves, those who were sick, to be healed. And we're told that Jesus healed them all. And they were so excited to see all the signs and the wonders that Jesus was performing. Things that they had not seen before, such things as they had not even dreamed of before. Unimaginable to them. So they were excited. They were really and truly enthused about all that was going on. Even though Jesus and those disciples were looking to get some time off for themselves, the people still did not cooperate. When Jesus saw the crowd awaiting him after they had made an effort to go somewhere and be alone and be by themselves, the people went ahead of them and they were there waiting when they got there. But Jesus wasn't upset about it. He didn't get angry or he didn't tell them to go away. He said, the Bible says that he looked at them and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them because they were like shepherds. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering around. They didn't know what to do. They needed help. And Jesus reached out to them and helped them. So Jesus began teaching them in that situation. He taught them many things, we are told in the Bible. And then after that came the feeding of the 5,000. You remember that incident where with just a few loaves and fish, Jesus fed a whole crowd of people made up of 5,000 men and many more women and children probably as well. So we don't even know how many were in that crowd, probably 10, 15,000. An amazing miracle took place. But Jesus was concerned about them. And after all of this, Jesus dismissed the crowd, told them to go home. And then he went off to a place by himself to pray and told his disciples to go ahead in the boat ahead of him. But while he was there praying, he looked out and he saw these disciples out on the water. And they were frantically trying to make progress, but they couldn't because of what was called a contrary wind. So Jesus went to them, walking on the water. Remember that? One of the reasons that some people give for not taking the time to attend church, read the Bible, have a regular prayer time, otherwise care for their spiritual needs is they're just too busy. Just too busy. I have some friends that I see rarely, once in a while. But every time I see them, I can count on them to tell me the same thing. They will always tell me, "We are so busy all the time." And then they go on to tell me what they've been busy doing. People are busy. People do have a lot of things to do. And you know, in a sense, it's good to stay busy, isn't it? It's good to be busy. It's good to be able to be busy. For if people feel like they don't have anything to get up for in the morning, or they don't have anything to do with themselves, can be kind of a bad situation, can be rather boring, can be rather hard to deal with, hopeless, in other words. But, you know, I've heard people say, "I just can't wait till I can retire." I heard some men say that. "I can't wait till I can, you know, stop working. And I'm just going to go home and I'm going to sit in my chair and I'm not going to do anything." You know how long that lasts before they get totally bored and they're looking for something to do. I was talking to a lady one time and her husband was just about to retire. And I said to her, "I'll bet you're really looking forward to having your husband home all the time." And she said, "Actually, I'm dreading it more than I can say." We need to be busy. We need to have something to do. We need to have something that we can look forward to doing. But the other extreme is people who work all the time or who are so busy, they can't even stop to rest and relax or do other things that are important. There needs to be a balance between staying busy while setting aside some time for rest, relaxation, and renewal. As we read through the Gospels, we can see that Jesus was a very busy person. Besides traveling about all over the place, which was not easy in those days, you know, they did not have buses and trains and airplanes and things like that. They usually walked wherever they went or else maybe ride a donkey or a camel or something. But he traveled everywhere. He traveled all up and down those dusty roads. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching and preaching to people because they were so hungry. They hadn't been fed for many, many years. And they were looking for someone to come along and to just feed them the truth, which he did. He spent a lot of time healing people, ministering to their needs, even raising people from the dead. And on top of that, Jesus was constantly involved with his disciples, training them, helping them to see what it was that he was doing, and that one day they would be in charge. One day they would take over him for him. So he had to make sure that they were ready to do that. If anyone had a reason to say, "I'm a busy person," it was Jesus. I also believe that Jesus took the time to do some other things that may have helped him deal with his busy life. And perhaps some of these other things will help us as well. So let's just look at a few of them, a couple of them. First of all, Jesus took time to get together and have fellowship with some people who encouraged him. It seems like his own family did not always understand Jesus or even support him, what he was doing. But there were others that did. We remember that family that consisted of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, who lived in Bethany. It appears that that was a place where Jesus could go and where he could relax, where he could rest, might have a meal or whatever. They just might have fellowship with them, and they were encouraging to him. They were not only his disciples or those that cared about him, but they were also those who were friends to him, which is something that we all need. You also remember the story about Zacchaeus, that wee little man who climbed up in that sycamore tree in order to see Jesus because he was short. And when Jesus saw him, he told him, "Come down from there, Zacchaeus, because I'm going to stay at your house today." We all know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector and that he was a sinner, of course, in the eyes of people. And Jesus was criticized for going to the house of a sinner and fellowshipping with someone like Zacchaeus. We also assume that Zacchaeus was probably a very wealthy man. And he probably had a very nice house that he lived in. And he welcomed Jesus into that house. And they probably ate a meal. And Zacchaeus' life as a result of that was changed forever. Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus. And he changed his life. He turned his life around the other direction. Now, I feel probably that because of his house that he lived in, he might have invited Jesus again. And he might have, his house may have become a place where Jesus went. And he opened that house to Jesus and his disciples. Some commentators also say that there was a group of women in the company of the disciples whom Jesus may have ministered to. And those women may have helped provide food and even finances for Jesus and his followers. We read about the opposition that Jesus faced, and that was real. He was constantly being harassed during his ministry, but he also had supporters who were an encouragement to him. You know, we all need that kind of help from others, whether it be from family, from friends, fellow church members, or others that we have a relationship with. We need to spend time with those that we love and care about. We can give people things. We can give people other. We can give them this and that and the other. But what they need most of all is our willingness to be with them. You know, sometimes it's a very awkward situation when people come into a visitation after someone has died. And people try to find something to say to people who've lost a loved one. In reality, there really isn't much you can say, is there? Except just be there. Just show them by coming and being loving and supporting that you care about them. That will help them more than anything. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, we read, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity that man who falls and has no one to help him up. It's not always convenient, and it may not be high on our to-do list, but we all need to open our hearts and our lives to others, to other people. Jesus also spent time receiving what might be called spiritual rest. He did so by talking to his Heavenly Father or just being in his presence. Sometimes he would wake up early and go to a quiet place to pray. At other times, he would cap off a very busy time of ministry by drawing aside, going to a secluded place to pray. We get the idea that these times of meeting with his Heavenly Father were crucial for Jesus. He needed those times, in spite of all the clamor for his time and his attention. Jesus knew that he had to spend time alone with his Heavenly Father. It's possible that in the busyness of our lives, we might give fellowship with God. We might not give it, I should say. We might not give fellowship with God, of meeting with God, of being with alone with the Father, with our Heavenly Father. We might not give that the place it deserves. The disciples came to Jesus one day and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Not as if they had never prayed before, because they had. But they saw something in Jesus' prayer life that attracted them. They wanted to know more. They wanted to be able to pray as he was praying. I believe one of the main things they saw in Jesus' prayers was how effective his prayers were. When Jesus prayed, things happened. I believe that Jesus' prayers were the result of an open communication with his Heavenly Father. He had a prayer connection. He had a prayer relationship, had a connection with the Heavenly Father. And that's why his prayers were so effective. He spent time alone with his Heavenly Father. He spent time just being with his Heavenly Father, getting to know him better, getting closer to him. I have told you before that one of the biggest regrets that I have is that I didn't spend more time alone with my earthly father. I wish that I had gotten to know him better. He was a fascinating man. I wish I had taken the time to sit down with him at times and just be with him and ask him about his life. But I didn't do that. And I'm sorry for that. It's important, my friends. If we don't take time to do this, if we don't take time to be with those that we love, those that are close to us, our friends, our family, and others, we may miss out on the opportunity altogether. Jesus once said that when we pray, we should go into our closet or into our prayer room, shut the door, and pray to our Heavenly Father, who sees us in that secret place, and he will reward us openly. Shut the door. Shut everything else out. Shut all that we are doing, all of our busyness. Shut all of the things that our pursuits, all the things that we think are so important that we need to do, all the distractions that come to us in life. Shut them out and give the Lord, give our Heavenly Father our undivided attention. You know, in a sense, I believe that's what we do when we come to the church to worship. We come to give him our undivided attention. It's not about us. It's about him. And in our hearts, we should have that desire to be with him. You know how it is when you love someone, some person, and you're away from that person, and you have sort of an ache in your heart until you're back together with that person. We should feel that spiritual ache in our hearts about our Heavenly Father, that we want to be with Him, that we want to get closer to Him, that we want to come to know Him better so that our relationship with Him grows and grows. The one way to get closer to our Heavenly Father, to draw closer to Him, is to go into that secret place and pray to Him in secret so that we can share our lives with Him. I was watching a show on TV recently where a father and a son were talking. They did not have a very close relationship with each other. The father said to the son, "But son, I provided for you and your mother. I gave you all that you needed." And the son answered, "Yes, you provided well for us, but you never gave us the one thing that we wanted most of all. You never gave us you." And our Heavenly Father might say the same thing to us. What I want from you most of all, what I want from all of us most of all, He says, "I want you. I want you." Because our Heavenly Father loves us. He cares about us. And He wants to be close to us. It's very simple. Really, it boils down to this. Take time. Take time for others. Take time for those that you love. Take time for your friends. Take time for your fellow church members. And take time for the Lord. Take time. Give Him the time that He deserves. Come aside and rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we need You in our lives. Sometimes we don't give You that time that You deserve. Same as we don't give other people that time that they deserve. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us to be able to see what is most important. We know there are a lot of things that have demands on our time, and we know that we're always busy about this or that. But help us not to neglect the most important thing of all, to give time to others and to give time to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.